and to call upon him, to sing songs of praise unto him, to commune and give, and to study of his word. Tonight I want to invite your attention to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. And I know that this is Labor Day weekend. And some of you who are laboring are glad to be off where you don't have to labor on Monday. And some of you have your meats soaking and marinating and whatever you do to it. And we just thank God for times that we can have to refresh ourselves. And so I know you're looking forward to your refreshment. So we won't keep you long so that you can remain refreshed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. The Bible says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but the world, but also in that which is to come, hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." The book of Ephesians is Paul's announcement of God's purpose in this world through Christ and the church. One of the major themes in this book is unity. Paul points out the spiritual blessings that those in Christ receive. In chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, "And now Paul prays that they would understand and comprehend the privileges that they have as children of God." Paul prays a powerful prayer for the Ephesians, that they would receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. He wanted them to know and comprehend the power that he possessed, because that power also is given to them. And that is because of their position in Christ. And I think sometimes we miss out on the full benefit of our blessings because we fail to realize the power that we possess. Reminds me of the poem about a little boy who received a dollar from his father. He said, "My dad gave me $1 bill because I'm his smartest son. I swapped it for 2 shiny quarters because 2 is more than 1. And then I took those quarters and traded them to Lou for 3 dimes. I guess he don't know that 3 is more than 2. Just then came along old blind Bates, and just 'cause he can't see, he gave me 4 nickels for my 3 dimes, and 4 is more than 3. And I took the nickels to Hiram Coombs down at the seed feed store, and the fool gave me 5 pennies for them, and 5 is more than 4. And then I went and showed my dad. He got red in the cheeks and closed his eyes and shook his head, too proud of me to speak. We have more power and more potential that we have received from our Father. And if we're not careful, we just might be trading them for pennies. So tonight, I don't want to hold you long, but I just want you to see how powerful we are. I know there's a slogan that says power to the people, but I want to bite that a little bit and adjust it and say power to his people. And I just want tonight to just look. There are at least 3 of them in here, but I know it's Labor Day. But if you would allow me to just look at 1 of the 3 of these powers that God has provided to his people. And I'm hoping that we will be inspired to live better lives because of this power. He says in verse number 18, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling." Paul prayed for enlightenment and an understanding for God's people, that they might know the hope that they possess as Christians. And I want to say that this is a powerful expectation. There's a powerful demonstration, and then there's a powerful exaltation in this text. But I just want to examine this powerful expectation. When we think about hope. Hope is a desire with expectation. For one to have hope, desire and expectation must be present. Well, if there is no expectation and if there is no desire, there is no hope. And in order to have expectation, somebody had to set or present an expectation that one would desire. When you put on your Christmas list that which you want, you have an expectation. And the reason why you have that expectation is because somewhere it has been communicated that you receive gifts on Christmas, that you get something on your birthday. And so you have an expectation of because of what has been communicated. And then what happens though, if you don't get what you expected, that's where disappointment comes into play. You expect something. Sisters are expecting something on that anniversary and Valentine. There is an expectation because there was a communication, whether or not you said it, but it's been communicated around the world. Co-workers communicating. You get flowers to you. I'm just trying to tell you. And so there's the expectation based upon some type of communication. You cannot have hope without an expectation and a desire, but somebody has to set the expectation for you. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 4 that there is but one hope. Is that right? It's one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Well, what is that one expectation? What is that one thing that we should all desire? What are we all looking for? And why is it so powerful? Well, watch here. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2. And verse number 12, watch what the Bible says, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Watch here, he says, having what? No hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were afar off have been made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Paul is really showing them the condition that they were in. No hope without God. But now in Christ, that suggests that there's a difference now. Outside of Christ, you have no hope, but now in Christ, you got something. Verse number 16 says that he might reconcile both under God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to them, to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. You were without hope. And he said you were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. You were without God. But now, because of Christ, he says, now you have access through one Spirit. What is the hope that you and I have? It is having access to God. That is the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. That's the one thing that we all should desire, want, expect, and we ought to look forward to it. So he is saying to us, the powerful expectation that we'll have is that we have access to God. There is no, I don't know about you, but there is nothing more powerful than having access to the one who is omnipotent, who has all power. And now we have access. We have entrance. We have him on speed dial, and we are able to be in his presence. So the hope of my calling is having access to God. But disappointment comes when we don't receive what we expect. And I think some of us don't believe that we have what God has said he was going to give us. And so what we do is we walk around disappointed and burdened and depressed because someone did not meet our expectation. But I want to tell you, whether or not a person meets your expectation, God has already said, I have met. I'll meet your expectation. If I tell you that I'm going to do it, you can rest assured that it will be done. So that's why Paul would say, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1, he's going to let you know that Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. In other words, you can't get access without Christ. So then Christ is our hope because he is the one who gives us access. I want you to just look real quickly at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. I told you, you can't have an expectation unless somebody has given you something that you can expect. I don't want to get too happy because I know you all are ready for Labor Day. But watch what he says. He confirmed it. God went on record. He said it. Now, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. In other words, if I say it, you can count on it because I cannot lie. I cannot lie. It's impossible for me to lie. Which might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay upon hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. In other words, your hope that you have is sure, is steadfast. It isn't going anywhere. It's true. That's why the songwriter, I know he appropriately said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Another songwriter said, build your hopes on things eternal. See, we got to know that the hope is powerful because of who gave it, and then because of how long it's going to endure throughout eternity. So every day, we must live in full expectation of everything that we have in Jesus. I said everything that we have in Jesus. And I know we have jobs. God gives them to us. He allows us to provide and have monies, but a job is not eternal. I'm sorry, you can go back on Labor Day after Labor Day and have no more labor. And so that means I can't put my full hope in my job. Because when I do, because you got to understand the nature of man. Man is here today and will tell you something today and forget what he said in the next few minutes. And you will say, but we shook on it. We signed a contract. So I can't let my job rob me of the hope, the access that I have with God, because I have access that if the job is taken, my access is not taken, and the same God who gave me that one will give me another one. Doctor's diagnosis can't rob me of my hope. I know they'll give you some, they'll tell you you're doing all right. Everything looks good. I'm not talking about a doom and gloom diagnosis, but they may give you a correct one. And in the next few minutes, something happens. And you will say, but you told me this was all right. All I'm trying to tell us is, even if the good diagnosis goes bad, or the bad diagnosis turns good, you still have hope that cannot be robbed. Can't no girlfriend, no boyfriend rob you of your hope. Divorce papers can't rob you of your hope. And the thing about this hope, it reminds us of what somebody said. Truly, the world did not give it to you, and the world can't take it away. But there's a challenge to it. We are so caught up in the physical. But Paul says, the way you see this hope is that the eyes of your understanding has to be enlightened. Not the eyes within your head, but the eyes of your understanding. And that's why Paul is laboring so hard. He wants them to get into their mind. He says, I want you to have the spirit of wisdom, revelation. I want your eyes of your understanding to be open. See, the challenge is, can we get out of the physical and get into the eternal? That's what Paul would say. He says these light afflictions, they're weighing for us an eternal weight of glory. For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The challenge is to minimize the physical and the outward man, to see the renewal of the inward man. This is an inward man's hope. He says, for our light affliction, which is for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let this powerful expectation drive and motivate you each and every day of your life. God has given us a great expectation. And he's going to show you how powerful he is when he says the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. We serve a God who is powerful, and he wants his people to live in his power, so that when we walk into any situation, we know I already have the power. And it's not because of who I am, but it's because of everything that God has done for me. You're here, you're not a child of God. You're missing out on your power. You need the hope of having access to God. That only comes by being in Jesus Christ. How do I get in Christ? I have to put my faith in him. I have to take my faith out of me and out of mama's doctrines and daddy's doctrines and what somebody told me, and I have to put it in what is written in the pages of God's word. If you put your faith in Christ, be willing to repent of your sins, change and make and go another direction. Confess Christ to be the Son of God and be buried with him in water for the remission of sin. That will wash all of your sins away, give you the Holy Spirit, give you access, give you the hope one day being in the presence of God throughout all of eternity. If you hear you're a child of God, but you've been basing your life on other expectations and other desires other than that which is eternal, we are living beneath our privilege. God is so good that he has given us a powerful expectation that we can take with us, not just today, but into eternity. That's a mighty good God who would do that for us. If you're here, you stand subject to the invitation. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing the song of invitation?
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart, be saved. Oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight? To